Greetings in the name of the Lord. In the last lesson, we were discussing the background of this passage from verses 19 to 24 of chapter 3. And I want to read a little bit of this passage with you in this lesson. We have been discussing the book of Galatians. And this book of Galatians is a very important doctrinal book. It's one of four or five very key books in the New Testament, which we call doctrinal books. The Gospel of John, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and perhaps there are more than five, but there may be as many as 10 of these important doctrinal books. The book of Hebrews, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, 1st and 2nd Peter. These are some of the important doctrinal books. And as you study through these books, you learn that these doctrines are the foundations for our faith. Now, these are all the Word of God. Every one of them is the Word of God. We don't regard them as the words of man, even though they have man's name with them. They were merely the instruments God used to inspire the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. So when I open the Bible, I open the New Testament, friends, I open the Old Testament, I'm holding in my hand the Word of God itself. And many of you have the Bible, but you've never opened it. You've never looked into the Word of God. And I say this respectfully of you. Perhaps you feel, well, I get enough in the church. I get all the teaching I need. No, you need to open it yourselves. Start with the Gospel of John. Go through that book, chapter by chapter, maybe a half a chapter a day. Try to understand it. Go through the book of Romans and some of these other books and study them and learn from them the truth of the foundations of your faith. Now, one of the foundations of our faith is the foundation of salvation by grace through faith alone. That's one of the foundations of our faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's one of the key passages in that book of Ephesians, a doctrinal book, an important doctrinal book. And we need to understand it. Even the passage which most of you have probably memorized in John chapter 3, verse 16. There's important doctrinal truth there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish or shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Or again, in John chapter 3, verse 36, a verse I've repeated many times in this series of lessons. He that hath the Son has life, or hath life. He that does not have the Son does not have life, but God's punishment, anger, wrath, the word wrath is used there in the King James, God's wrath lives on him or abides on him. In other words, if you don't have the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, you're lost in your sin. You have no salvation. Your good works will not help you. Your church will not help you. Other people cannot help you. The ordinances of your church, you call them sacraments in some churches, but these things will not help you go to heaven. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. So you take the words of the Lord Jesus himself again, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we take these words from the Lord Jesus and from these doctrinal books, and we believe them with all our hearts, and we follow the truth no matter what man might tell us. In other words, you might hear on the street somebody saying, well, this is the way. My good works are going to take me there and so forth. No, none of our good works are going to take us to heaven. All right, I want to come back now. And I want to come back to this third chapter, because in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, he's explaining now why we come to God by grace through faith. Now, there was a false teaching I've mentioned before in this church. The false teaching had come after Paul had left Galatia and had gone back again to Antioch. There were four cities in Galatia where he'd preached. He had no opportunity to build up these Christians in the faith, no opportunity to really train the leaders he appointed. So he went back to Antioch again, there north of Palestine, and he received word that false teachers had come in, telling these people, you not only have to have faith, but you must also follow the law of Moses. In other words, you must obey the law. And Paul is teaching them, this is false teaching. You must not follow this false teaching. The moment you add anything to the Lord Jesus Christ as a means of salvation, you no longer have the gospel at all. In other words, he mentions this in chapter 1. These people have departed from the true gospel. He says, you're following a gospel which is not the gospel at all. You are following a false gospel, in other words. When you add anything to Jesus, good works, the law, the church, the sacraments, or our baptism in our church, or whatever it might be, whenever you add anything else or anyone else to God's salvation, you no longer have God's salvation, no matter how religious you might be. And so this is the truth that the Galatians had to understand. Now we've come to chapter 3. In the first two chapters, he defines these things, and he talks about his own experience, how he got saved, how he was recognized as an apostle to the Gentiles, how he had to dispute with Peter, for instance, in the last part of chapter 2, dispute with Peter because Peter wavered on this matter. And so the Apostle Paul now comes into the doctrinal truths. In the beginning of chapter 3, he asks the four major questions. We discuss these in a couple of lessons. I'll not go through these with you again. That both in salvation and in the Christian life, we are living lives of faith and walking by the Spirit of God. And we're not walking by hundreds of regulations in the Old Testament law, but we're walking by the Spirit of God and by faith. Even in our Christian lives, the same thing is true. God will give us the wisdom to understand His Word, and to follow His Word by the Holy Spirit, victory can come. So I'll be talking about this later. I don't want to get into this subject till we get into chapter 5. But now in chapter 3, verse 19, he has this thing to say. Let's begin in verse 19. Wherefore then serves the law? What was the purpose then of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And then going down to verse 22, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which had after been revealed. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster, it was like a teacher, in other words, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Now, I don't understand how people can say, and how can they ignore this passage of Scripture and say, we must be still under the law. It's very clear in verse 19, until the seed should come. And then down there in verse 23, before faith came. And then down in verse 25, and after faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For, verse 26, you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now let's go into this more deeply now. We just barely began this section, 19 to 24, in the last lesson. And I want to come back to it now with you a little bit. We're going to take this 19 to 24, and then we're going to go down to verse 29. But I want to go through this a little bit with you. First of all, the law was righteous and holy before God. It's not the law that's at fault. It's false teachers who are at fault today. They're using the law in a wrong way. The law came from God. It had its purpose in the great nation of Israel, whom we deeply respect and we honor today. It had its purpose in the Old Testament times because the Messiah had not yet come. Their promised Savior, the Messiah, had not yet come. It was going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after the time of Moses before the Messiah would finally come, the Deliverer, the one who would die on the cross for their sins. And so they needed something, first of all, to show them their sinful condition. It showed them how sinful they were before God. It did not make them righteous. It showed them, rather, that before God, even though they felt they might be righteous by keeping the precepts of the law, nevertheless, in their hearts before God, they were still hopeless, lost sinners. And so, the law also turned them to the sacrificial system. Why would they need sacrifices if they could be righteous under the law? They need sacrifices because the sacrifices of the Old Testament, millions and millions and millions of them, were like a picture. How can we put it? They were like a picture of the coming Messiah, of the one sacrifice on the cross. When John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, he proclaimed these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." In other words, they had offered millions and millions and millions in Old Testament times, but now the one sacrifice has come down from heaven in the divine Son of God, has come down from heaven to live an earthly life and to suffer a terrible suffering death on the cross. And that sacrifice, the shedding of his blood and the sacrifice of himself, was God's sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, he now uses the phrase tutor or schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. He uses this phrase. The law was like a schoolmaster or teacher to bring us to Christ in pointing out the Old Testament function of the law. Rather than taking away their sins and bringing them into righteous standing with God, it taught and prepared them for the one who could accomplish this for them. It was like a teacher, in other words, teaching them through these Old Testament centuries, many, 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 many centuries before Christ would ever come. And it had to be in God's own time. Therefore, they needed this preparation of the text of the law. So the law had a very important purpose before God. For the Old Testament people, it was very, very important. But Abraham understood, and the people of Israel understood, that the law itself was not what could save them. It was the Savior who would save them from their sin. So in verses 19 down to verse 24, we find this teaching is being given. They needed the preparation of the law, and it gave them a true picture for their true righteousness and salvation, which would come from God Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. It gave them a picture of these things, and it showed them their need of a Savior to prepare their hearts for this. Now, not everybody accepted it this way. Paul had great difficulty before he was saved in accepting it. He was a Pharisee. He hated the Lord. He hated the gospel. He hated the Christians. But suddenly, on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, God showed him the truth, that the one he hated was the Messiah. Jesus himself spoke to him in a vision, and apparently those with him knew it was not just a dream that Paul had, a bad dream that Paul had. Rather, it was a vision from God, and apparently it made the people with him afraid. However this vision was shown, I'm not exactly sure, but in some way, God's voice was heard, and the voice was asking him, why are you treating me this way? In other words, that was the idea of the Lord Jesus. Why are you doing this thing? Why are you resisting me like you are? And Paul there was soundly converted, and miraculously his life was suddenly turned around from a Christ hater, a Christian hater, a hater of the gospel. Suddenly he became its defender. He lost all of his previous friends, but he paid this price in order to follow the Lord Jesus. So what verses 25 to 29 are teaching is this: the law has fulfilled its purpose and it no longer applies to us. It fulfilled its purpose. I use those words till and until and before and words like this. I especially pointed out as we read this passage. It's very, very clear. And the Lord Jesus said the same thing: until all things be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount: until all things be fulfilled. So when he died on the cross, the Redeemer had truly come. He had proven himself by his miracles and all these other things, but he had especially proven himself by his sacrificial death on the cross. And so when this happened, suddenly the law and its purpose was fulfilled. So he had clearly set forth the law as a tutor or teacher that God had given them to prepare these Old Testament Jews for the coming of their Messiah, who would give them the true righteous standing before God. Now he just as clearly states they're no longer under that teacher. They don't need the teacher anymore. Now they have the fulfillment of the truth, the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes ahead in verse 26 to make it clear that their righteous standing before God and their place or sonship in his family has been altogether brought to pass through their faith in Christ Jesus. Now they're living by faith. They have trusted that he was the true Messiah. Both Jews and Gentiles had to trust this. The Jews had to trust him as Messiah. The Gentiles would call him Savior, the same meaning, the same person. So both Jews and Gentiles had to trust him now that he had fulfilled his purpose in coming into the world. He had died on the cross for their sins. And by faith, they would look to him as their means of salvation, as their only means of salvation. Entirely apart from any works of their own, entirely apart from any merits of their own, they had no merit in themselves at all. Now they were coming to the Lord Jesus as their only means of salvation. And so this truth is very, very important for us to understand. It's very, very important for us to understand this truth. that the people of that day and the people of this day have to realize that Jesus has perfectly fulfilled everything promised in the Old Testament. We're not under the law anymore, but we must have this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin before we can be righteous before God. Suppose a person says, I'm not under the law, but I find it difficult to trust Him completely. I'm sorry, you're not going to go to heaven. You not only have to put aside the one, put it behind you. It fulfilled its purpose, but now you have to turn to the one who has fulfilled this purpose of the law, the one whose cross was the symbol, in other words, that the Old Testament looked forward to, whose cross, whose shed blood, sacrifice on the cross, was the final answer of God for the needs of the sin of the whole world. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, then you're still lost in your sin. You still have no Savior, and you're still lost in your sin. So it is therefore those who have put aside the law, which was only intended to prepare them for the coming of the Savior, and then have them come to Christ as their final answer to the law's sinful condition, that makes them the true descendants of Abraham. How can I be a descendant of Abraham? It's not going to now be just because I am from the Jewish nation, because I'm an Israelite. It's going to be because I have the same faith that Abraham had. In other words, Abraham did not yet know the nation of Israel. It was promised. Let me put this very fairly. It was promised him from chapter 12 of Genesis and throughout the book of Genesis. It's promised to Abraham and to his children. But they did not yet know the creation of this nation. In other words, they simply promised that someday it would come. So Abraham, by faith, looked beyond the nation that was established, and he looked toward the coming of the promised Messiah of that nation. And the Savior that we look to is Gentiles. And so this was very important. If they are not coming through Christ, and if they're still dependent upon the law besides or instead of Christ, then they're not the spiritual descendants of Abraham at all. I want to bring this lesson to a close. We've come down to the end of chapter 3. And I want to simply say that in this passage, it's very clearly teaching that we are not under the law anymore. The law has fulfilled its purpose. It was holy and righteous before God. The book of Romans says the same thing. Chapter 3, for instance, it's saying exactly the same thing. The law is not the sinful thing. It is a fact that the law prepared men for the coming of the Messiah, and now it fulfilled its purposes. So we respect the law. We read from the law and everything, but we're not under the law anymore. Now we, the Jewish people, the Gentile people, are under faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only Savior from sin. That's what Galatians chapter 3 is teaching. And it's my prayer that by faith you have come to the Lord Jesus as your only means of salvation. You put aside everything else, the law, your church, other people, the ordinances or the sacraments in your church, whatever. You put them aside and you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. May the Lord help you if you've never taken this step.